Welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé Listeners. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 17th of October. 18th of October. That's right. It's the 18th of October, 2005. The mess continues. The situation is very ominous at this point in time, in my thoughts, in my direction, in my thinking, people. And what do I know? Yes. What do I know? What do any of us know, people, at this point in time? Only had a lifetime of this. It all started for me, as most of you realize, the Cuban Missile Crisis. What a scam on the people of Cuba, a scam on the people of America, and it continues to this very, very day. Cuba, communist Cuba. My goodness, he's the longest reigning dictator in the world. Fidel Castro, 90 miles off the shore of Florida. People still try to escape from Cuba to America. They do not like it in Cuba. When anyone realizes what kind of a totalitarian country they live in, like communist China, then they find out that they want to go somewhere else. Russia has been democratized to a degree to comfortably merge Russia with America, in my thoughts, as I see it, and as Rowan Gaither stated to Norman Dodd back in 1953 from the Reese Commission. Tonight, there's much information on the site, AmericanExpose.com, and certainly it's there for everyone to absorb. They need to absorb it. I mean, people, U.S. greenhouse gas growth slowing. South Africa calls for new push against climate change. 50 million environmental refugees by end of the decade, according to the UN, coming from The Guardian. Tropical storms and hurricanes, a whole section devoted to that. The South Asia earthquake, a whole section devoted to that. Then the bird flu. And that's just in the news today, the 18th of October. But it was alerted to me, and I did not hear the completion of President Bush's speech or news conference. regarding immigration and illegal immigration. And it was disclosed to me that Michael Chertoff has closed the borders. Now, maybe that means closing the border so we can't leave as well. I don't know. But I thought tonight, as I searched out this book entitled United Nations Concentration Camps Program in America, it's book two by Serge Manast. He died back in the 80s or 90s. However, in 1994, March 8, 1994, he completed a book entitled That, What I Just Gave You. And I want to cover a certain portion regarding FEMA and just see how far along it is. Just keep in mind, listeners, that this was written in 1994. How far off is this that I'm going to cover tonight for this portion of the broadcast? How far off is it that we are right now compared to what's in this book? And I'm in the middle of the book, page 64. And he says, study the constitution of your state. You may find that your state constitution no longer describes the boundary of the state, effectively abolishing the state. At last check, the only states that still lay out their boundaries in their constitutions are Washington, Idaho, Montana, North and South Dakota, Wyoming, Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Arizona, New Mexico, and Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and Florida. Only the states marked with a slash still remain state boundaries, which are still specified in their state constitutions. Obviously, you can't find this. When the state boundaries are no longer in the state constitution, it is the signal that the state has lost its sovereignty and its state citizens. Now, a central government has formed, which is the step into international communism through the United Nations. And he says, wake up, America. The prohibition in both the state and the United States constitutions are very clearly defined and impregnable. The only way that these changes can be made, of course, is to change the constitutions. The perpetrators of regional and world government well know this. They well know that the state governments will have to be abolished before they can force regional, metropolitan, and world government in the United States. This has already been done in 30 of the 50 states. FEMA is the acronym for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It was established by Executive Order 12148 and signed into existence by Jimmy Carter in 1979. It was originally planned as an umbrella administration consisting of the disaster and emergency response arms of nearly a dozen scattered federal agencies. FEMA is the successor to the various cover agency for bogus national emergency activity perpetrated since 1933, such as the Office of Emergency Preparedness, the Office of Defense Mobilization, the Office of Emergency Planning and Economic Stabilization Agency, and the Civil Defense Administration. FEMA's. Now, this is all very, very interesting. FEMA's major functions were, unconstitutionally and in violation of the compact, delegated under sham and pretense of a series of so-called executive orders, but without actual authority. While some national security planners applauded the 1979 creation of FEMA under Presidential Review Memorandum 32 as an effort to integrate all nine federal agencies with responsibilities for civil defense, emergency planning, and implementation, the authors of the plan had other things in mind. The FEMA plan was written by Carter, White House National Security Council advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, and NSC staffer Samuel Huntington. 4 years earlier, Brzezinski and Huntington had been together at the Trilateral Commission's annual 1975 conference in Tokyo. That's Kyoto, Japan. actually, where Huntington delivered a blood-curdling paper advocating the end of democracy and the implementation of crisis management forms of government. A trilateral commission Link magazine challenge had earlier described the concept as, quote, fascism with a democratic face, end quote. NSC advisor Brzezinski called it the technocratic age. It was Brzezinski and Huntington's vision of a technocratic fascist structure that came into being with the creation of FEMA, not a legitimate and long overdue serious attempt at civil defense. Huntington's 1975 book, Crisis of Democracy, quotes, quote, we have to come to recognize that there are potentially desirable limits to economic growth. There are also potentially desirable limits to the indefinite extension of political democracy, end quote. Within months after he had written this analysis, Huntington entered the old executive office building as an NSC staffer under the Trilateral Commission Executive Director Brzezinski. FEMA was cast in the crisis of democracy vision of the Commission's zero growth agenda. The transition from Carter to Reagan tended to accelerate rather than slow the buildup of the FEMA parallel government within the government program of trilateralist Brzezinski and Huntington. By 1984, FEMA's continuity of government structure was well oiled. Over 1,000 executive orders allocating extensive powers to FEMA in the event of a string of national emergencies sat in a safe in the Oval Office, waiting only for the signature of the President. And in April 1984, FEMA, in conjunction with the Department of Defense, held extensive secret maneuvers throughout the United States. If there was any doubt that Huntington, or Huntington's crisis of democracy vision, was foremost in the minds of its planners, a declassified section of the exercise plan, dubbed Rex 84 Bravo, spelled out the scenario on which the operation was based. Quote, the sudden withdrawal of cheap incremental loans to heavily indebted countries generated a number of consequences to both borrowers and lenders alike. The first was to throw the entire world into the worst recession since the Great Depression of 1930. Quote, the response of the commercial banks was predictable. Both the multinational banks and the IMF emphasized three actions: A, lower imports; B, raise exports; and C, reduce the government sector debt by cutting subsidies and, in effect, cutting real wages. As I continue quoting, the outcome of this advice on a worldwide basis was primarily social unrest. It occurred in the Warsaw Pact nations as well as free world countries. The major impact of a high and rising dollar, with the interest rate of most loans tied to the London Interbank Offer Rate, LIBOR, London Interbank Offer Rate, was to shift almost all import earnings from being used to pay for imports to being used to service debt, bankruptcies, and defaults on a massive scale developed, and doomsayers began to publish apocalyptic scenarios, end quote. This so-called scenario was the basis of secret government contingency planning for installing crisis management at the very moment that President Reagan was delivering false assurances to the American people and the nation's allies that great economic recovery, the Reagan Revolution, was underway. Railroad. The Commission to Investigate Human Rights Violations. Appendix B, Americans Computerized by FEMA. Fort Meade, Maryland, is the government's most tightly guarded installation. It houses, among others, the secret National Security Agency. in an unmarked windowless office building on the grounds of Fort Meade. Hundreds of thousands of American citizens are being computerized by technicians on the payroll of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Quote, administratively, this place is the equivalent of an unlisted telephone, end quote, explained a former senior official of FEMA who agreed to an interview on condition that his identity be protected. Quote, it has no official existence. There is no listing for it, no traceable designation. But it's there, idling quietly, like a doomsday bomb waiting for its moment in history, end quote. The task of FEMA's secret data control annex at Fort Meade is to develop so-called CAPS. The term stands for Crisis Action Programs. CAPS, Crisis Action Programs, to be implemented in national emergencies. The term was originally used to denote disaster relief plans at the Federal Preparedness Agency, once a department of the General Services Administration, now merged into FEMA. But the computerized action plans instrumented at Fort Meade have nothing to do with aiding victims of hurricanes or other natural disasters. There are blueprints for taking over the U.S. government and converting it into a command system under the emergency management of federal bureaucrats. Privately, congressional investigators, intelligence analysts, and veteran Washington newsmen familiar with the inner machinery of the vast federal bureaucracy have long expressed concern and anxiety about FEMA. An umbrella administration born in 1978 when President Jimmy Carter combined the disaster and emergency response functions of nearly a dozen scattered federal outposts into a single agency. FEMA has always been known as an activist and secretive fraternity. Under Louis Graffita, appointed FEMA director by President Ronald Reagan in 1981, the agency developed a top-secret project for arresting tens of thousands of quote-unquote suspect aliens. Along with troublesome critics and dissenters whom the White House found annoying enough to be labeled potentially subversive. I'm going to repeat this. This is why I covered this tonight, because of the press release about the closing of the borders, listeners. But I'm going to take a quick break first. back, listeners. I'm sorry. A little confusion here. I'm a little upset. I'm upset for a lot of reasons. But certainly I've been more than upset about our country for years. But I see a crescendo reaching up to a point. With the hurricanes, with the stirring of the weather, with the cause of earthquakes, with the fact that Secretary of Defense Cohen made that statement in 1997 about creating environmental eco-terrorism. And here we are exposing it big time, and it's getting more exposure as days progress. So at times I get a little racked up with thoughts and don't pay attention to what I should be doing with the microphone. So let me get back into this, and this is the main reason why I wanted to cover this tonight. I couldn't find it today, but here I did, as I'm reading it to you, here it comes out. Under Louis Graffita, appointed FEMA director by President Ronald Reagan in 1981, the agency developed a top-secret project for arresting tens of thousands of suspect aliens, along with troublesome critics and dissenters whom the White House found annoying enough to be labeled potentially subversive. Tagged Operation Rex 84, these unconstitutional plans were first discovered and revealed by this populist newspaper, The Spotlight, in a series of exclusive investigative reports in the April 23rd and May 14th, 1984 issues. But although the, quote, Spotlight's expose wrecked FEMA's plans for setting up mass emergency detention centers, and cost Graffita his post as director of secret preparations for ensuring the continuity of the federal government in ill-defined emergencies, remain the major concern of FEMA's senior officials. Quote those words enunciated by President George Gerald Ford in Executive Order 11921 were understood by FEMA to mean that one day they would be in charge of the country. End quote. Explained Dr. Henry Kleiman, a political scientist at Boston University, quote, as these bureaucrats saw it, FEMA's real mission was to wait, prepare, and take over when some situation seemed serious enough to turn the United States into a police state, end quote. To illustrate FEMA's conspiratorial core, knowledgeable Washington intelligence sources cited the instance of the 1989 visit by President George Bush to Cartagena, Colombia, to attend a so-called regional drug summit with three Latin American presidents. Quote, there were rumors of a terrorist threat against Bush by Colombian drug hit squads, end quote, recounted Monroe H. Brown, a former federal security officer and long years of service in Miami. Quote, teams of Secret Services, FBI and CIA agents, were mobilized to find out how serious the threat was. While back in Washington, FEMA went to work on an emergency program in case the presidential plane was hit by a Stinger missile somewhere over Colombia, end quote. FEMA's emergency measures included preparations to round up more than 10,000 Americans, redlined in the agency's computers as, quote, activists, supporters, or sympathizers of terrorism in the United States, end quote, explained Brown. In August 1990, after Iraq invaded Kuwait, FEMA got ready to deal with the terrorist emergencies in the United States by churning up the same old discredited computer compilation of terrorist supporters and sympathizers, adding thousands of names to it and alerting the U.S. Army to set up detention camps to hold these innocent victims of its bureaucratic brutality. And this is very, very vital information, it turns out. Emergency is the trigger word in the FEMA title. Quoting the director of FEMA, shall on behalf of the president, one, coordinate all mobilization activities of the executive branch, including production, procurement, manpower, stabilization, and transport. FEMA will be able to alter any existing contract. Now, actually, that's been turned over to the Department of Homeland Security, which is even more of a mega bureaucracy. But let's continue. Number two, the FRS, that's the Federal Reserve System, with all its branches, will become fiscal agent to the United States with dictatorial power over the economy of the nation. Number three, the Treasury and the Export-Import Bank will be authorized to make loans under the direction of FEMA and the FRS, the Federal Reserve System. Number four, during a national emergency, the president, an elected official, would be stripped of all his presidential functions. Number five, set up an executive branch of the government and a National Defense Executive Reserve, the NDER, composed of persons selected, not elected, from various segments of the civilian economy and from government for training for employment in executive positions in the event of a national emergency. Such reservists have been treasonously exempted from certain provisions of the Federal Criminal Code and may be employed without compensation. In other words, shanghaied or blackmailed into service. Number six, seize and or control every major national asset. Number seven, provide for national security and consolidate the assignment of emergency preparedness functions with various departments and agencies. The Department of Justice shall develop plans for administering laws regarding the import, manufacture, and distribution of narcotics, i.e., do anything it wants relative to narcotics, since the term emergency purports to eliminate all law. They are also ordered to take over organized crime's drug rackets and manage them. Number nine, declare martial law at any time. 10, have the Department of the Interior take over all potable water. Number 11, place all food production under the Department of Agriculture. Number 12, take over all labor resources by means of lists already prepared by the Department of Labor. Number 13, implement takeover of all forms of transportation by the Department of Transportation, assisted by the Civil Aeronautics Board. Number 14, implement takeover of all nuclear facilities by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Number 15, take over authority and presidential functions of all emergency agencies and reduce the consequences of major terrorist incidents. Case enlists some examples of the perpetuation of a silent coup. For example, declaring certain areas to be military reserves and cause American citizens to be removed from their homes and imprisoned without trial under the pretense of racial difference. What are we building to, listeners, to this point, as we're hearing all this information on our website, for that matter, and the Million More March that just happened last weekend, and the riotous situation in Toledo, Ohio? All this is quite relevant, written in 1994.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to our website, AmericanExposé.com. More information that you'd ever dream of on any website on an almost daily basis, listeners. The information that is produced by Dennis on the website, the menace to the New World Order, is incredible. Every day I look at this thing when it comes up and I just go, wow. I'm just amazed at his ability to find this information. Very relevant information relating to terrorism, relating to martial law, and the possibilities of this to happen. This is why tonight I'm covering by Serge Manast, who died very mysteriously, written in 1994, The United Nations Concentration Camps Program in America, Book 2. And I'm on page 76. Where they're talking about declaring martial law at any time, and the functions of FEMA. And I go back to number 15, take over authority and presidential functions of all emergency agencies and reduce the consequences of major terrorist incidents. Case enlists some examples of the perpetuation of a silent coup. For example, Get this. Declaring certain areas to be military reserves and cause American citizens to be removed from their homes and imprisoned without trial under the pretense of racial difference. Another code provides that any military commander under FEMA can, under the color for national emergency, specify any area he desires as a military reserve and designate anyone living there as a criminal. When martial law is declared, the Constitution is no longer the law of the land. It is revoked and replaced with what amounts to a military dictatorship in much the same way that Latin America countries have been doing for several years. Those with the most weapons usually win. Most Americans know very well that a large share of men in uniform will not fight against their own people, particularly if the soldier is of their own ethnic background. The debate over martial law has been around for a long time. The Department of Defense recognizes that within our Constitution, there is a question of lawlessness if the military is ordered to declare martial law over the citizens of the United States. This debate became extensive during the early days of the Federal Emergency Management Agency while it was being developed in California by then-Governor Ronald Reagan and his advisor, Edwin Meese. A Colonel Grafita moved to Washington with Reagan and Meese, completed the organizational concepts on a national level. The debate over martial law was extensive during the Garden Plot, Cable Splicer, and Rex 84 programs, wherein the military, primarily National Guardsmen, conducted training exercises to put down civil unrest. In working with FEMA, the Department of Defense was given the replacement phase martial rule. All of the government of the world recognized the term martial law. It means the same thing everywhere. When it is declared, the constitution of that country is suspended for as long as the military is in command. But with martial rule, these master planners believe that they will still have the constitution and have military command at the same time. The Rex 84 program is essentially a massive detention center program where they plan to incarcerate all seditionists during a declared national emergency. They will simply be declared felons, and the government will attempt to enforce the law with several million deputy U.S. marshals. Hidden in the bureaucratic maze, Washington politicians call our constitutional system of government. A little-known federal agency is quietly making plans to turn the United States into a dictatorship. There are stacks of blueprints in the top-secret safe of the Federal Emergency Management Agency designed to convert American society into a command system. A former deputy administrator of the agency has told the investigative team. In a private interview allowing him to remain anonymous, this highly placed source confirmed that the procedures developed by FEMA to suspend the Constitution and to round up thousands of dissenters nationwide can be activated by a single phone call from the White House. Quote, even people who have become aware of FEMA's existence and know something about its activities, not many do think the word emergency in its designation means it will go into action only in case of a natural disaster or perhaps a surprise nuclear attack. And that was a quote. Once again, quote, even people who have become aware of FEMA's existence and know something about its activities, not many do think the word emergency in its designation means it will go into action only in case of a national disaster, that's a natural disaster, or perhaps a surprise nuclear attack, end quote, related this expert. Quote, in reality, let me get to the next page. As I have to skip over some maps, and the maps are the regionalized United States. Okay, and quote, continue quoting, in reality, moreover, this outfit can be mobilized whenever the politicians occupying the White House decide they need special and extra constitutional powers to impose their will on the nation, end quote. FEMA bureaucrats can then proceed to take over all farms, ranches, or timberland in order to utilize them more effectively as decreed in Executive Order 11490, the so-called Omnibus Emergency Preparedness Decree, promulgated by President Richard Nixon on October 28, 1969. seize all sources of public power, electricity, nuclear, petroleum, etc., freeze all wages, prices, and bank accounts, take over all communications media. Such totalitarian measures can be imposed by bureaucrats under FEMA's direction, not just in the face of a cataclysmic upheaval, but whenever necessary for assuring, quote, whenever necessary for ensuring the continuity of the federal government in any national emergency type situation, end quote. Decreed a subsequent White House Executive Order 11921 issued by President Gerald Ford in April 1976. Can such a blueprint for tyranny be clamped on the United States by a force of faceless federal officials? It is the role of FEMA. Prepared for most intensively, says the former high agency administrator. Quote, in recent years, despite talk of spending cuts, FEMA's budget has been steadily increasing, end quote. Reveal this knowledgeable source. Quote, it now stands at somewhere around $3 billion annually. I say somewhere because part of this agency's funding is appropriated under so-called black programs submitted to Congress with a defense budget without an explanation of its purpose, espying the secret CIA appropriation, end quote. So then we see in this book, United Nations Concentration Camp Programs in America, written in 1994. Keep in mind we have Homeland Security today. FEMA is under Homeland Security. They've talked about making FEMA separate. Homeland Security is nasty in all its functions and factions. We already know that. Then we see here in the book the plot against private property. In the February 2nd issue of his newsletter, Remnant Review, Gary North makes the provocative suggestion that our Constitutional Convention of 1787 was a manipulative maneuver of the elitist syndicate plotting world control via a central banking conspiracy. This is too long and too meaty an article for the ostrich to offer more than a few nibbles. So we recommend you send North $5, and there's a address here, and it's just not going to be working, I'm sure. 1994, this was written. 11 years ago, people. The American Convention consolidated the 13 original states, sovereign under the Articles of Confederation, into a giant free trade zone. North speculates that the Constitution was a peaceful thesis to the violent antithesis of the French Revolution of the same period. Quote, a Hegelian dialectic even before Hegel was born, end quote. Both aimed at the same goal on the same timetable, compilation by 2000. That goal is world political totalitarianism under a money monopoly. North dates organization of the plotters from Sir Isaac Newton's capture of England's Royal Society, chartered in 1661, and the founding of the monopolistic Bank of England in the same period. He attributes success to conspirator success in occultism or secret societies and journalism. For more than three centuries, London has been the brain and control center of the conspiracy. The Bank of England is the model for a world-controlling money monopoly. North suggests that the United States is the model for its peaceful aspect, the peaceful thesis for the violent antithesis, USSR, which has failed. Given worldwide aspirations inspired by the idealism launching the American experiment, this was a brilliant propaganda choice and is thus being sold for a united Europe, first step in the syndicate's one world. What do we have today, listeners? The European Union. As in the United States, it was first peddled as a free trade union. Gradually, as the ostrich has been reporting, the original sovereignty of our Confederated States has been devoured with bribes, blackmail, and such outright theft as the Nixon administration regionalism shown in the map here in the book. A similar fate is predictable for European nations under the syndicate's consolidation planned for 1992. This is what I say. As it turns out, this United Nations Concentration Camp Program book by Serge Manasse is very, very relevant to where we are today. Some of the names have changed, some of the departments have changed, but the situation remains the same. Here we are in the middle of a regionalized zone in North America under NAFTA, which was planned for under GATT, which was made in 1947. This is what we're living out now. NAFTA, CAFTA, FTAA. FTAA will be a done deal by the end of the year. And that's according to Joan Vion in her book, The United Nations Global Straitjacket. So I continue with where I left off, the plot against private property. Unless a reunified neutral Germany breaks from the conspiracy, unless America awakes and in their own nonviolent velvet revolution outlaw fractional reserve and usury banking. Then it goes on, the White House Directive Restructuring of Government Service Systems, dated March 27, 1969, merged the 50 sovereign states into 10 federal regions in violation of the prohibitions of Article 4 of the United States Constitution. An examination of this type of government established under regional governance shows that it is a government of appointed rather than elected officials. A governance established in violation of the guarantees of Article 10, United States Constitution. Under regional governance, U.S. citizens are to be held in bondage in perpetuity as producers and servers of a self-appointed oligarchy. Interlocking subversion in government, departments can, of course, be successfully challenged by an informed electorate motivated to act within the authority of the U.S. Constitution. FEMA can draw on the defense budget and on the protection of the secrecy reserved for national security projects because it came into being under President Jimmy Carter, and he moved that merged the civil defense and disaster relief responsibilities formerly shared by the Pentagon, the Commerce Department, and the General Services Administration under a single powerful agency. But FEMA's real focus is not on disaster relief, knowledgeable sources say. An investigation of this little-known agency conducted earlier this year in 1992 by General Accounting Office, the Congressional Watchdog Unit, has found that less than 10% of FEMA staff, 230 bureaucrats out of an estimated 2,600, are assigned full-time to preparing for and dealing with major natural calamities such as storms or earthquakes. What then is FEMA ready to do? An advanced copy of the GAO report on this secretive agency. The study's surprising findings have been reviewed with the help of well-placed confidential sources in order to bring into full view, for the first time, the federal bureaucracy's secret blueprint for tyranny in America. Okay. President Eisenhower's warning about the military-industrial complex should hit home. The term military security has become a shield behind which the American people are being systematically drained and defrauded. Unlimited spending for weapons programs has become the means by which contractors have virtually unobstructed access to public funds. And actually, what I ought to do here is just finish up this page. When you have contractors being reimbursed for expenses without documentation, you have a license to steal. Evidence that we are becoming a military welfare state is found in Public Law 85-804. That's Public Law 85-804, which holds that contractors who are deemed essential to national defense must be protected against bankruptcy. This legislation means that American citizens are required to underwrite incompetence, waste, and even fraud. The Pentagon has been given the power to subsidize suppliers who have broken their contractual obligations. National security has become the facade behind which the national treasury is being brazenly raided. Figure out what MJTF police, BATF, FinCEN, and FEMA have drawn into messing up with the executive orders. There's more to this. I will review it. No, what I'll do is we'll just plan on doing this again tomorrow night. Apparently, I'm going to be on 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll be on for 6 hours tomorrow. That'll be amazing tomorrow. What an amazing day that should be tomorrow. I wanted to alert you of number 47 of the research dated October 18th. Number 47 has turned into a monster, which I covered before, Unicor and the Federal Prisons Incorporated. Well, number 47 is Federal Prisons Industries, The Sad Story in America by Rose Lear. And this is a monster now. This is a big monster now. And you've got to check this out, listeners. You've got to check out number 47, of which that's just many to check out. The information and documentation on this website today is amazing. And it's worked exactly the way I've wanted it. I have nothing to do with it. Others are doing it. And that's the way I always wanted it to be. The time it takes to do this is very, very dedicating. And Dennis needs a real hand, a round of applause. And he needs financial support if you can give it. And you can email Dennis on the website. Support him in what his endeavors are. You must support this network, First Amendment Radio. Obviously, there's not many sponsors here on the network. And obviously, it takes money to run this network. And if you want to hear me on this network, you have to support it. However you can. It's vital that you do. So you go to this Federal Prisons Incorporated, and you go to the Congressional Report dated May 20th of 2003. And that's just one section. On the front page it says, Federal Prison Industries, let's stop it before we are all working for 23 cents an hour. And this is the whole point that I was very, very upset about a long time ago. Because if we have slave labor products coming back from communist China to this country, we have slave labor products being made in America, we have Humvees being refitted by Federal Prisons Incorporated listeners, Hummers listeners, the new Jeep. You go down to Prison Labor Links. Go down to Prison Labor Links here. And don't bypass the sad story in America either. But go to Prison Labor Links and open that baby up in this website. You will not believe what's going on there. You will not believe it. And you'll scroll down and you'll find the first one, Unicor, Federal Prison Industries Incorporated. What is Unicor? United Nations Incorporated. There it is. United Nations Incorporated, Unicor. Federal Prisons Industries. Now, they're not going to say outright that it's United Nations Incorporated, but you find a definition for what Unicor stands for. And the website is unicor.gov, UNICOR. But you go to this, it looks suspiciously under United Nations. It looks like a United Nations front page of one of their offshoot agencies. And you'll find a schedule of products and services, clothing and textiles, office furniture being made by Federal Prisons Incorporated, or the Federal Prison Industries, or Unicor, industrial products, electronics recycling, that's electronics and recycling, services, but the main one is fleet management and vehicular components, listeners. Your partner in mission readiness. You open that little sucker up, you won't believe what you'll find. It'll blow you away. We're Federal Prisons Incorporated, are retrofitting military vehicles, government vehicles. Right here, as you open it up, you see a bunch of Hummers, Humvees. They're all painted white. They don't have any markings on them, and you're only seeing them from the front. But fleet management and vehicular components, your partner in mission readiness, Federal Prisons Incorporated, Federal Prisons Industries offers a complete range of retrofitting and upfitting of new vehicles as well as remanufacturing of custom components. FPI's nationwide vehicular components and diesel engine remanufacturing facilities repair and rebuild a wide array of vehicle and vehicular equipment components, engines, forklifts, starters, generators, and alternators. FPI, Federal Prison Industries, has been providing remanufacturing services to the federal government since 1997. Today, we are the leading government provider of fleet vehicle and vehicular component remanufacturing services. Our department agency customer list is wide-ranging. Ah, man. This is a monster, listeners. Federal Prisons Incorporated. So this website needs to be a permanent entry on our website. And I'm trying to make that happen. How people can't work together, it just blows me away. I shouldn't be directing things. People should just be doing it. And just like Dennis does it. And listeners, that's the way it is. We are in a mess and a boondoggle. It's your responsibility to research all these directions and spread the word. Otherwise, what good are you? And what good are we? Good night, until tomorrow night.
Working on a faster than you've ever before. Just trying to stay even with the Smith and Jones. Lately I've been thinking, what do you? I'm hanging by the thread, but it feels like a noose. This is what I think. Been wondering every day there'll be a rise of
We're here with Amazing Alan at the wildest roller coaster ride in the world.
Okay, what are you going to do? Slam me into a wall?
No, Alan. As a matter of fact, I will ride the roller coaster with you.